Good to see everyone tonight. Hope you've had a good day. I think it has been a wonderful day, as it usually is when we come together to serve our God and have the opportunity to see one another and gain encouragement from each other. It's always a good day in the Lord, and we're thankful to Him for this day. I want to invite you to 1 Peter chapter 4. Be the context for our lesson tonight. 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to compliment the congregation here for something that I feel like lately that we're doing a better job of. And I know maybe that's not indicative of perhaps negativity from where we were, as much as it is an increased effort, I think, on the part of each one of you, as you can, to reach out to people that come into this building. And I want you to know how encouraging that is to me as I see you welcome these individuals as they come in. We don't know them, but you are welcoming them and showing them love and compassion, the love of Christ. And that is an encouragement to me. And to a person almost, the individuals that we have that fill out their visitor cards, one of the things that they say very often is that this is a friendly group of people. And I think that's something we're working on, and we ought to continue to be that way. But I think that has made an impact and an encouragement for the people that are visiting from the community, especially that come in. So I want to encourage you to continue to do that. You know, some folks make you feel at home. Other folks make you feel like you want to be at home. And we want to make people feel at home as they are in an environment where Jesus Christ is our focus, and we want to welcome them as they come in. That goes along with the lesson from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9 tonight that what I'd like to look at for a few minutes and talk about together as we think about the idea of hospitality for a few minutes this evening. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. My brother Jared went to Kenya when he was young. Over in Kenya, they speak Swahili. And there is a statement that is in Swahili. They use it over there from time to time. And what they say is that if you have someone come into your home, the saying goes, treat your guest as a guest for 2 days. On the third day, give him a hoe. And that's kind of a funny statement, but you know, hospitality is an important thing. I like that statement, except for when I'm the guest, and then that doesn't work out too well. But you know, hospitality is such an important thing for us, and we need to, I think about that from time to time, encourage one another in that work. 1 Peter 4:9 says, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." There, that last bit there must be there for a reason. That's something we ought to be doing for one another as we extend a hand to each other, that we encourage in that way without grumbling. That's not something that we are forced to do or that we complain about, that we are thankful, rather, to do for one another and to show that love to each other. The word hospitable, as we look at it in Latin, has the root word of host. And that root word can be found in words like hotel or hostel or things similar to that. Maybe hospice care or hospital. That word is found in all of those words. And the idea that we are attending to the needs of other people. We are the hosts of those people. When they come into this building, we are their hosts. We are reaching out to them, to extend to them and help them with the things that they most desperately need. And in this case, some need Jesus Christ that come into this building. The Greek word is a word philoxenia, which means kindness to strangers in its essence. Now, in this context, in 1 Peter 4, I don't know that it's specifically talking about that. This is written to Christians. He's talking to people that are faithful, and he says, I want you to be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And so not just merely to strangers, that would not be limited only to that, but to all people. And we need to be doing that. I want for us to look at what is said here just very quickly in 1 Peter 4 and verse 9. First of all, the command is, be hospitable. That's a command. The idea of what he's wanting to see in these people is that they would take that mandate and that they would fulfill it in their own lives. You know, back in those days, in the ancient times, hospitality was a very important thing. You look at the history of some of those nations. You look at Greece and Rome and some of those Egyptian cultures, and what you see really hospitality was a very important thing to them. In fact, if hospitality was not shown to somebody that came into their village and someone came in, it would be considered as a badge of dishonor to them. If somebody did not, as they're sitting in the open square, and there's even Bible stories about that, where individuals would be sitting in the square, and there is a condemnation for the fact that some did not attend to their needs. And we might can apply that in different ways in our life. If someone comes in this building and nobody talks to them, they're that individual in the square. And they're not being attended to. And we need to think carefully about that. But that was a serious breach of honor. Look back at the book of Job for just a moment. Back in the book of Job, when Job was somewhat defending himself against some of his detractors, one of the things that he talks about was that this was something that he had done. That as he is thinking about his faithfulness to God and his fulfillment of his responsibilities, one of the things that he says is that I have done this, that I have been hospitable in this way. He says there in Job 31 and verse 32, "But no sojourner had to lodge in the street, for I have opened my doors to the traveler." You can see that kind of idea repeated in Deuteronomy and in Leviticus in different places. In the book of Leviticus, in chapter 19, in verse 33 and 34, those folks were to remember something. As they're thinking about hospitality and God is speaking to them, he says, "I want you to remember where you used to be." And when you're extending yourself, or when you're thinking about what your responsibility is to someone else, I want you to remember that there was a time when things were not that easy for you. There was a time when you were strangers and you were sojourners in Egypt. And I want you to remember how you felt. Remember how you felt when you were in that condition. When you were in a strange place. When you didn't know anybody. When your comfort level was very low. Remember how you felt. And I want you to do something about that for others in terms of what they need now. You were in a place where you felt out of place among a different people with unfamiliar surroundings and environment. Now there's someone else in that situation. And especially when we think about new people, that's their circumstance. And remember what it was like for you. Maybe when you first became a Christian, or maybe the first time that you walked in the door, or maybe the first time that you visited, how did you feel and the nervousness that you had? Think about others and what they experience when they come in to this building. Think about other brethren. Think about your brethren who may feel somewhat alone. You know, you can be in a group of people and be isolated. But we need to extend our hands to each other, and to encourage each other in this as well. And to remember that people need that kind of attention. It's easy to develop really a selfish view of life and kind of what we need, and like that rich man and all the pronouns and his thought about himself and his concerns and what is it that I need. But really we need to be thinking about those that are around us and their concerns. You know, this is an important issue. Look over at Matthew chapter 25 for just a moment. This is not really just something that is is an encouragement or a good idea for us. It's not something that, if you ever get around to it. The Lord kind of speaks of this as being something that really is a need that we ought to be meeting and something that we ought to consider in terms of our spiritual welfare. Matthew 25, he talks about in verse 32 down through 46 that this is a vital matter. You know, he talks about here, and we might not read all of this, but I think this may be somewhat of a familiar passage where Jesus is talking to individuals, and he says in verse 35, I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous that are hearing that, they say, when did we do that? When did we do the kind of things that you're talking about? Or when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And then verse 40, the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. We have opportunities to show hospitality to Jesus Christ every single week. We have opportunities to feed. We have opportunities to extend our hand in this figurative way to Him by our attention to other people and our love for them. And when we do that, and when we make that sacrifice, and when we're benevolent and hospitable, I want you to remember that you're doing that for the Lord Christ. And that's what he's saying here. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. On the other hand, and they say, when did we not do that? And he says, as much as you didn't do that to others, you did not do that to me. So I think that's an important thing for us to consider and to recognize that there's a direct correlation in my relationship with God and my relationship with other people. You cannot have nothing to do with other Christians. You cannot have no relationship with other people that are of like precious faith and think that your relationship with Jesus Christ is what it ought to be. That just doesn't work that way. And Colossians 3 and verse 23 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And so that's the motivation. That's the spark that helps us to want to do those things, to be hospitable. He says that this is a mutual thing that is done. And he says that you do that for one another. We need to look for opportunities to do that. We need to have a vision to see the needs that people have. We need to be looking for that. We need to be pursuing that. Look over at Romans 12 and verse 13. And depending on what version that you have here, there are different versions that read differently over here in Romans 12 and verse 13. But the word that is used is a word really that carries the weight of an individual that is hunting. Will is a good hunter. I've accompanied him on a couple of times when he's been stalking deer out in the woods. I'm not very good at it. He tells me I'm too loud. He tells me to just stay there and I'll go because I make too much noise. But he's good at that. But that's the word here, is that idea of stalking, of trying to hunt down your target. And in Romans 12 and verse 13, he says, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Now, mine says given. Yours might say practicing or pursuing or seeking or something along that line. But that idea kind of lends us to think about the fact that if it's hunting, you go out and seek it. you're going to go out and you're going to try to find that opportunity. It's not going to come into the yard. The animal's not, unless you live in our neighborhood, then I guess it might come into the yard. But that's not usually the way that works. You've got to go find that. You've got to go seek that out and look for that opportunity. And we can't neglect that as well. In Hebrews 13 and verse 2, Hebrews 13 and verse 2, in the context of brotherly love, in Hebrews 13 and verse 2, he reminds us of an occasion that took place in the Old Testament, in reference back to Abraham and to Sarah, and I think, in their kindness that they showed. In Hebrews 13 and verse 2, and that's not the right passage. Yeah, it is. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Don't forget to practice. Don't forget, because wonderful things can happen as a result of it. And let me tell you that oftentimes, you're the one that's receiving. You're the one that gets the benefit from that. When you get to know people and you have them into your home and you seek out opportunities to be with them, often it's you that are benefited by that. But I want to encourage us that we don't neglect certain people, whether that's new members or widows or singles or the lost or whatever that might be. We need to be looking to see everyone's needs. There's a saying that I really like, and you know, a lot of times we do have a tendency, I think, to find and gravitate to people that we're like, and I think that's normal. And I think that that's a natural thing to do. And I think that's a good thing, that we find people that we have things in common with. But we also need to not be exclusive. And I love this saying, because a lot of times I think we think this. All the world, this is a Quaker saying, all the world is strange except me and thee. And I'm not so sure about thee. You know, that's kind of a thought process that we have sometimes. And maybe we just want to find somebody that's just exactly like us. But we need to reach out to people that are different than us and understand the need that we have for that. When we look at the New Testament, we certainly see in Acts 2, there was an interaction with each other. In Acts 16, Lydia was just adamant that Paul would come into her home and would spend time with her after she obeyed the gospel. Aquila and Priscilla had Paul into their home for a time. The jailer, Cornelius, Simon the tanner, Gaius in 3 John 5 and verse 9 is commended for doing faithfully what he did for brethren and strangers, sending them forward in a manner worthy of God. One of the qualifications of elders is that they would be hospitable individuals. One of the occasions that we read of in 1 Timothy 5, 9 and 10, a widow was not to be supported unless she had been hospitable. It must be important to God that we reach out to other people, that we look to the needs of others. An elder would do that. One that would receive financial help from the church would need to have been that kind of person. The way that we do that is important. It's the manner that we do it. The manner is not talking about fine china or a perfectly cooked meal or the perfect entertainment or the perfect mix of people. It is rather the manner that we do it, that it's done joyfully, that it's done without grumbling, not because we have to, but because we want to. Look at an Old Testament story very quickly. In 2 Kings 4, 2 Kings 4, and verses 8 and following, 2 Kings chapter 4. We find the story in this chapter of the Shunammite woman and her generosity toward Elisha. In 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, And I wonder if that's what made her notable. It says that she was a notable woman. I wonder if that's what it was that made her so notable. That she was always, she didn't know him, but she wanted him to come in and to eat with her. And then every time that he would come by, he would do the same. That's a notable quality. In verse 9 it says, And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand, so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." Isn't that wonderful? "Honey, let's take this extra money that you've been working overtime for, and let's take our resources, and let's use that, and let's make an extra room for Elisha, so that when he's coming by, he'll have a place to stay." And they do that. They make a place for him. And it says in verse 11, it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. And then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite woman." And when he had called her, she stood there before him. And he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you?'" Now listen, oftentimes when you show hospitality, you may not get it back. This is the occasion when the person that has shown the hospitality asks or wants to extend that back. That doesn't always take place. And we shouldn't expect it to take place because that's not why we do it. But he says to her, "What can we do for you?" Verse 13, "Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?" That was a pretty great thing that he's offering there. She answered, "I dwell among my own people." I don't know exactly what she has in mind there, but I think she's saying, "I'm okay. I'm good. You know, I have a good life. I'm here with my people, and that's all I need." And so, you know, there is this hospitality that is shown there, and she ended up receiving, if you go on through the story, she ended up receiving a whole lot. She ended up receiving a son. And then that son was resurrected. It looks like he may have had an aneurysm in his brain. And then that same son that was gifted to her is resurrected from the grave. Great story. But I wonder, when it comes to this kind of thing, when did we start making our homes an unapproachable place? When did we start building a moat around it and protecting it quite so much that we don't invite people in as we ought to? The manner is important, but then finally, if you look back over there at our passage in 1 Peter chapter 4, it's the ministration of what God has done for us. When we do this, what we need to understand is that we, in fact, as we extend this kind of help, as we extend this kind of help and as we minister, we are ministering with what God has given to us. In verse 10 it says, "As each one has received a gift," that gift comes from the Lord, "minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Hospitality is a vehicle. It is a tool. It's what we can use for the benefit of others and to arrive at the needs of other people and mankind. Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners. He showed love to other people. He was diligent, as we read about in the Scriptures, and was not sluggish. We read in Hebrews chapter 6. Look over at Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 9 through 12. Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 9 through 12. With this love and concern that we have for one another, that we don't become sluggish, that we don't get tired of doing good. He says in verse 9, "Beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name. How did they do that? In that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We are stewards of God's grace. But why is it that, why do we withhold that from time to time? Why do we fail in this regard? Sometimes it's because there are so many. And we've got a congregation of 150, 160 individuals. Well, that's a lot of people to have to show hospitality to. But I'll tell you how you do it. You do it one at a time. And maybe you might just do once a month. But you start somewhere. And you just do what you can. And sometimes that may be difficult, but systematically we can accomplish much in that regard. Why do we withhold hospitality? Maybe one reason is social media. That we have become so poor in terms of our one-on-one communication that we think that we can just maybe send something over the internet and that might be sufficient. And that's good. And I'm not saying that we ought not to do that, because that's encouraging. But sometimes we fail, perhaps, because we are losing the human connection that we ought to have. I saw a funny little cartoon not too long ago. It was titled Tan Lines of the New Generation. And it had a picture of this young boy that had a white box right here on his chest, about the size of a phone. And he had been out there, and that was the tan lines of the new generation. He's got his phone right there, and so there he's got a white box on his chest. We got social media is good. It's a way to reach out. It's a way to connect with people. But the best way, I think, is to have some one-on-one good time with people in our homes. Culturally, things have changed, and sometimes maybe, you know, that can be the case, that may be the problem. But let me encourage this as well. Don't let perfect become the enemy of good. What do I mean by that? Don't think that because you don't have the best dishes or the best house or the best circumstance or the financial means to provide the best meal that prevents you from doing good. Don't let perfect become the enemy of good. And then finally, maybe we've been rejected in the past. Maybe we've asked, maybe we've extended that to people, and maybe they've said no. But don't let that keep us from continuing to do that in the future. Jesus said in Revelation 3 and verse 20 that He wanted to come in. Revelation 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me." That's a wonderful thought, that we can accept Him in and that He will come in and He will eat or dine with us. He obviously wants to do that. We need to open the door. Maybe tonight there's someone here that would respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to come in. The question is, will we let Him? Will we open the door to Him? If there's someone that needs to respond to the gospel, won't you come? While we stand.